Beathard sets up deep in the pocket. Goes down the field for Smith. Ah, he got it! Smith! Touchdown, 85 yards, Iowa!
56-yarder. It's got, no, does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45,
50, 45.
There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Don't miss a thing from the world of college football. Stay right here for College Gridiron on WFUV Sports.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to College Gridiron. It is now week 7 of the college football season. The second Saturday of October is coming up already. I am Tucker Austin, joined by Isabella Terracini and Caleb Stein. And first off, I just want to say that I'm really happy to be back on Gridiron after a brief hiatus of a couple of weeks. But now I'm back. Super excited to be on the show today. But just really briefly before we get into things, how are you guys doing today?
I'm doing really good. I'm really excited for this weekend. I'm doing updates. I'm going to be talking about college football all day long. And then I get to go home and watch what I was just talking about. So I'm really excited. And it's Wednesday. Good hump day.
There you go. Yeah, excited to make my gridiron debut. It feels like my gridiron debut, which I think is the most important thing. Glad to be
there
here.
With you, beautiful
Aww. People talking some college football. It's a it's a good time. It's an exciting time, and we'll get into it. I'm excited.
Well, before we move into previewing week 7, we're just gonna go over a couple of the bigger headlines from week 6 last week. College game day made its way out to Berkeley for UMiami versus Cal. And I was sort of on the fence about College game day going to Cal Berkeley. They hadn't been out. They don't go out west very often. And I was kind of questioning the environment, but boy, did they prove me wrong.
Yeah, it was
very
the first
true.
Time.
Very
the first
true.
Time I think they've been to Berkeley.
I would
some
assume so.
Some kid made the $100,000 kick.
In the Vans, in the slip-on shoes, it's crazy. It kind of just shows you, like, what kind of kids are at Berkeley? What are you doing here?
It's a lot of very smart individuals over there. We'll just we'll say
that.
In the middle of Cal's
some really talented ones, too.
But they had kids gathering outside of game day set at midnight the night before. And in the middle of midterms is ridiculous. I don't know where they're finding the time for that. Over in Berkeley.
They're smart.
But yeah, it was overall, it was a really cool, it was a really cool college game day. I hope they go back to Berkeley at some point. Maybe Berkeley gets good in the ACC in the next few years. Who knows? But a lot of upsets in week six.
Finally.
A lot of upsets. Finally. Yeah, and of course, Isabel, I know you're all over that. You're huge on the upsets. 4 of the top 11 teams fell to unranked opponents last week, and I'll just run through the list here. Alabama at number 1 lost 40-35 at Vanderbilt. Number 4 Tennessee lost 19-14 at Arkansas. Number 10 Michigan lost 27-17 at Washington, and number 11 USC lost 24-17 at Minnesota. Now there was one more upset that was remarkable from last week. Wasn't an unranked upset, so that's why I didn't make that list. But number 9, Mizzou, went down 41-10 on the road at number 25, Texas A&M. And the one thing I'll say about all 5 of those upsets is notice what was the condition of the loss. It's a road loss. Every single team on this list lost their games on the road.
It's a really – yeah. I mean, of course. You're probably not going to lose to an unranked team at home. There's going to be way more pressure on you. But I want to talk about this Vanderbilt one. The goalpost just went straight into the river. Straight into the river. It's now on like Google Maps. Apparently I saw that tweet this morning that like you can like go on Google Maps and it says like Vanderbilt goalpost. So everybody's getting fined now, which is, I mean, fair, like understandable, but it's like a lot of money. And I don't know what's really going to happen in like looking at this, like hypothetically, Oklahoma takes down Texas. That's going to be a field storming. How much money is going to be fined for that? Because it's not at anybody's home field. It's at the Cotton Bowl. So I bet like there's going to be a lot more money that's going to be fined there. But
And
that's probably
honestly, I
not.
think
That's
either
not going
team
to
would rush the field.
happen.
Even if Texas wins, I think they'll probably even rush the field a little bit just because it's the Red River. And we will talk about the Red River rivalry later in this show today. But the last major headline from last week was Army and Navy, both 5-0. That
Since
it's the
1945.
first time since the 40s that Army
Since
and
first time
Navy are
since the
both 5-0
war.
to start the season. Like, oh man, and they were putting up numbers back then because they were both in the war. But I wrote a question down. I said, can they both go undefeated into the Army Navy game? But then I instantly answered it when I did my research with no, because both schools have Notre Dame on their schedule this season. But there's a very good possibility that they both enter at one as one loss teams. Which, depending on the nature of their loss, both of their losses to Notre Dame, one or two of them could end up ranked. You guys think Army and Navy, either of them could be ranked by the end of the year?
I think so.
Absolutely.
And I don't think one game against Notre Dame is going to change that.
Especially if it's not a bad loss, you know?
Yeah, if either team keeps it close against Notre Dame, which is probably going to be the most competitive
It's going to
game
be ha
wise.
hard.
Yeah, I don't think the committee will look. What the
I
hell is
mean,
wrong?
Notre Dame has been, I mean, obviously they have the loss to Northern Illinois.
Illinois.
But I don't know. This Notre Dame team, they definitely came out of that a lot more resilient and a lot better than they were going into the Northern Illinois game. But I feel like it's always gonna hang over their heads for the rest of the season, you know, like kind of like a what if scenario. Like any team that is Notre Dame could like maybe sneak out a win because Northern Illinois did it, so why not us? But that is the big news, I suppose, from week six, or what we found to be the biggest news. Moving into week seven for some of our game previews, out of the noon window, Alabama is back in action. They're at home. They're at number 7 now, dropping 6 places after that loss to Vandy last week. And they've got South Carolina this week at home.
I think Alabama's going to have. I'm
Yes,
really,
they
really
do.
high on the impact of a chip on a team's shoulder. And the chip on Alabama's shoulder is absolutely, I mean, it's the biggest it's been in a long time. And it's the biggest it will be,
It
hopefully.
wasn't
I don't
a
know if you could
chip
even call it a
of
chip.
sorts.
Yeah. It's probably like a chunk.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's putting it
Yeah.
very
I think it's an
lightly.
entire goalpost. I'm not gonna lie to y'all.
And
It's certainly the weight of the state of Alabama on their shoulders.
Yeah, I
But
can
good
just
for
picture
Vandy.
how
Good for Vandy
disappointed
for kind of
Saban
showing
would
them
be.
who's boss. Because, I mean, they don't run the SEC anymore. I think it'll be, I mean, Bama's over here at 21 point favorites. So I'm not really sure how to feel about the Gamecocks. And, you know, Jalen Milroe, we've talked about him before. We talk about him on every single episode. He's definitely a Heisman contender. Probably a little bit lower on the list, but he's still like a really talented guy, and I don't think that Sellers is going to be able to keep up with him that whole entire game. It's either going to be a really hard battle to fight,
Milroe has
or that's why
thrown for over 300 yards 2 games in a row, and I think that'll most likely become a third with the matchup against South Carolina.
I
I
don't think
mean
there's any question.
the only thing South Carolina really has to hang their hats on this year is a close home loss against LSU, and a like a road win over Kentucky, which only looks better now because of Kentucky's game against Georgia. I'd love to say the magic happens 2 weeks in a row against
Right?
Alabama,
Right?
but I mean, like,
I'm
it's
not
just
entirely. But you never
the
know.
odds
Like
are stacked against them,
it
unfortunately.
was
And South
Vanderbilt,
Carolina is a team
though.
that's been known to move and shake some things in the SEC before, but it mostly comes when they're at home. South Carolina, like, w on the road at Bama. After a loss, I really don't see Crimson Tide losing that one. But now, here we get a big one in the 3:30 slate. Texas and Oklahoma from the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. The Red River rivalry renewed in a new conference in the SEC. Thank God we didn't lose this game because of conference realignment. That would have been really a disaster for college football. But Quinn Ewers is set to return to the starting role at quarterback for Texas in this game. So, Isabel, what are your thoughts? I know you mentioned the Red River earlier. So what are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on this game. As a Texas native, of course, I'm going Texas all the way. They're back at number one. They both have buys. Both OU and UT have had buys last week. So I think they're both pumped, ready to go into this game, ready to just give it all, give everything they've got. I think the switch from Manning back to Ewers might be a little bit harder because Ewers has been showing, not Ewers, yeah, not Ewers. Arch Manning has been showing, like, has been laying it all out on the field, and he's been throwing, like, absolute dimes, and he's an amazing football player, like, no questions asked. So I think there's kind of this, like, standard that Quinn Ewers has to walk in at the Red River rivalry, and it just might be a little bit hard. I mean, I have faith in him, obviously. I'm ready to sit down and watch this game right now, personally. What about you? What about Caleb?
Definitely. And yeah, I definitely agree with you, but yeah, Caleb, any thoughts on this game? You got a pick?
I'm going to go with Texas. I think that the transition from Manning is definitely, I think, the biggest concern that this Texas team has. There's a pretty big gap, I think, in the, I mean, this is a 1 versus 18 situation. So it's close, but it's not too close. I think Texas has been one of the flashiest teams and consistently flashy in a way that provides both style and substance this season. And so much of that has to do with Arch Manning. And so I think there's a little bit of an identity crisis coming in early on where you had this bolt of energy from Arch Manning, fired everyone up, threw dimes, ran up the score, and now you're making a transition in the biggest game of the regular season against your biggest rivals. And so this is something that I'm a little concerned with, that either could energize Texas to whoop Oklahoma's butt or make it a little bit more stressful for them, and they could crumble under pressure. I think I'm leaning towards the former, and this could be not a blowout, but a 2 or 3 touchdown win for Texas.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I agree with both of you. And I like, just because I'm more impressed overall just with Texas this year. Oklahoma's played a lot more closer games. They had that game against Houston, 16-12 win. It just doesn't look great at all. They won their first road SEC game last week against Auburn, but again, it's another close game, and Auburn isn't an incredible program this year. Texas has had absolutely no issues all year, so give me the horns all day long, hook 'em. But also in that 3:30 slate, we have a huge game, not the biggest game in the Big Ten, but a big one, number 4 Penn State on the road in Southern California against the USC Trojans. Now, my main issue with this game is it's a matchup issue. USC is very pass reliant, and Penn State's pass defense is very, very good. They allowed a lot of completions, but not a lot of yards, specifically from last week against UCLA. They allowed 73.3% percentage on 30 passes, but only gave up 167 yards. That is really solid, like solid containing of the pass game. So I think Penn State will be able to translate that defense perfectly against USC.
I think for Penn State USC, the matchup is definitely, or the mismatchup rather, is definitely very, very heavily emphasized, right? What we got right here is something that I think would be an absolute blowout if it were in Happy Valley. I think that's no question. And right now, USC is 5.5 point dogs, which I think is a little disrespectful to Penn State, even though it is at home. I think it's overweighing that a little bit more. But I think what we've seen from this USC team is sort of flashes of brilliance that don't really subside to anything really too substantial. And I'm thinking more of that Wisconsin game where USC looked good. And then obviously, week after that against Minnesota, they didn't look great at all and only put up 17 points. So I think that this will be a low scoring game, but I think Penn State will get it by a touchdown or two.
I like that. I could see that happening. I mean, getting nitty gritty about it. PSU is number four right now, and USC is unranked. And then also PSU, they're undefeated. They're one of like I think there's like seven or eight teams left that are undefeated. But if you look up like the matchup predictor on ESPN, like from like their analytics team, USC's got it by like one and no, like 3 points all. So I really like, I don't know. I think this is going to be a pretty even matchup. I think it'll be a good game. It might be a little bit like it'll be fun to watch. I could see that happening. I mean, the QB matchup is pretty even. I like it. So I'm excited to switch this one when the Red River is in commercial.
You throw it in the double box. Why not? Just
Yeah,
have like you'll keep
very
the Red
true.
River audio, but like you'll just have an eye on that Penn State game.
Yeah.
But the other big game in the Big Ten, arguably the big, probably the, I would say the biggest game of the week, and that's in a week where we have the Red River rivalry, is an
Yeah.
absolutely titanic matchup out west in Oregon. The Ducks at number three, hosting the number two Ohio State Buckeyes. And man, oh, if you're a college football fan, you are excited for this game. There's really no other way to put it. I mean,
We should have a gridiron pregame to this.
another 2 versus 3, where we just had a huge matchup of Georgia and Bama in the top four. We get another top four matchup, and Isabella, we'll start with you this time. What are you looking for out of this game?
Both teams to have fun. I have no idea. Honestly, both of these teams are undefeated in their conference and overall. I think a 2 and 3 matchup is always one of those that you have to like really like analyze and like look into everything about every single player, which is hard because every player is so versatile on every team. So it's going to be a good game in. They have state winning, which I guess, but I don't know. Would this be considered this would not be considered an upset if Oregon wins, right? Because like they're too close. Or
I mean, by strict numerical upsets, yes, but I don't
yes,
think you could call it like an
we
actual
wouldn't be
upset. It's a very
upset.
even
Like,
matchup. No.
yeah, it's too even of a matchup. Is my thing. So maybe I'll throw it on. I don't know. We'll see what I'm doing.
I think the main thing.
OSU is an unstoppable force this season. They've really won every they've won every game by four touchdowns or more. Like, Caleb, what do you even do with that if you're Oregon?
I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth. Ohio State's been just more dominant than Oregon this season. And I think if you look at, I think semi-comparable, week six matchup against Iowa and Michigan State for both respective teams, Will Howard had a much better outing than Dillon Gabriel. And when Will Howard's going 21 for 25 and only putting one interception up in the air, and then you compare that to Gabriel, 20 for 32 and two interceptions and two touchdowns. You don't love that against a semi-weak Michigan State. And if that's going to be any indication of his performance or his headspace against Ohio State. I'm not too high on Oregon. I think this will be Ohio State by at least 1.5 touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't mind that. It just because of how dominant that Ohio State has been. Like, they really have shown no signs ever of slowing down. Oregon
I don't think they
did
ever
get
will.
that win. They really might not. Oregon got that. They did get a nice win early in the season over Boise State, though. And with now, like, the continued emergence of Ashton Jeantie, that win is looking better and better. But Oregon is a pass-heavy offense, and OSU only has given up 649 total yards through all five of their games this year. 649
Okay.
passing yards. That's it. Like, this offense, as much as their offense is good, their defense is that much better.
I think they're just that kind of school. They
It's just really, it's ridiculous.
they put so much focus into both offense and defense. Like, they both have probably great coaches. I think it'll be like, strength and, coaching staffs and play calls. We'll have to see.
And with that, I think we'll move on to our final game from that we're previewing at least for week 7. Down in the Bayou, LSU at number 13 is hosting the Ole Miss Rebels, ranked at number 9 now. That game at the same time as Ohio State and Oregon, so it's another double box situation, at least for me. I'll be watching both games. But this is a good QB matchup here. And Caleb, we'll start with you this time. Who do you think between Jackson Dart or Garrett Nussmeier will have a better game here this weekend?
I'm going Nussmeier, and I think, I think the bye week is going to help him out. 409 yards against South Alabama was incredible. It's South Alabama, but it's 409 yards, and I'm
And
leaning.
two interceptions, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, And now I'm looking at 26, and now I'm looking at 26 for 39, which I don't love.
Like, the yardage is big, but it just feels like there's mistakes in there,
Well, I feel
like too
like,
many.
so I think there's two ways that you can think about this. You can think of it as dominance that resulted in a 32-point win at home, right? And Nussmeier got the job done. Or you can think of it as scrappy playing that needs to be tuned up in a competitive matchup like that. So I think it depends. And I think I'm still going to give Nussmeier the advantage here, although I do appreciate you calling me out on that, because I see what he did 2 weeks ago, one game week ago, as being decidedly comfortable and letting that comfort allow for mistakes that I don't think he's going to make against Ole Miss.
I definitely like LSU in this game. Problem is, I just don't like either of these teams' defenses. I just like they've been giving up a lot of points all year, and it's made their offenses have to pick up and play better to actually get these wins across. But I do like LSU in this one at home. Look for Garrett Nussmeier to kind of put it together a little bit better. And I think Garrett Nussmeier will be able to pick apart Ole Miss's defense pretty similarly to how Jackson Dart will pick apart LSU's defense. Very high scoring, probably both teams well into the 30s. And yeah, so with that's our week 7 preview. Got through a lot of games. The only other game I'll mention just before we move on to Superdog is the Notre Dame Fighting Irish playing a rivalry game at home against the Stanford Cardinal. Notre Dame's going to win by a million, but just to mention the Irish. But with that, we'll move on to our Superdog picks. My Superdog this week is going to be, and we've talked about them on the show already today, I picked them all the way back in week 1 to get the W over Virginia Tech, and everyone thought I was crazy. But they got that W, and they've got another Superdog situation this week. It's Vanderbilt. The Vanderbilt Commodores plus 13.5 points on the road against Kentucky. Kentucky is off a bye, but personally, I don't care. Vanderbilt is coming off a win against number one Alabama. You have to feel invincible right now if you're Vanderbilt. And that invincibility will give them a lot of confidence going into their game this weekend. But I don't think they'll get the win, unfortunately, because I think Kentucky has just looked too good since that Georgia game where they only lost by one at home. So I'm going to give the W to the Kentucky Wildcats, but absolutely Vanderbilt is covering this game. It's going to be a close one, and a 13.5 point spread, I think they'll cover that easily. But Isabella, who is your super dog this week?
This one took a lot out of me to find. And it's taking a lot out of me to like think of reasons why I pick them. But give me the Buffaloes. Give me the Colorado Buffaloes over Kansas State.
Ooh.
At 4.5. It's not that super of a dog.
But it counts.
It counts. The Buffaloes, they're undefeated in their conference. I mean, they only have one loss, tragically, to BYU. No, nope. To Nebraska at Nebraska. Oh, yes. Now, this is at Colorado, so I'm not really sure why Kansas is favored in this, but they are.
Well, Kansas State's defense has had a very, very nice year. They score a lot.
They do.
But they've run into some issues this year. One notable game, I think Kansas State went out to BYU and got slapped around.
Yep. So, 38-9 was that loss. So
it's another Kansas State going out west again.
Yeah. To see, maybe we'll see another 38-9. I'm not sure, but I know this will be a tough game for both. I mean, they both have pretty rock star like QBs and passings. So I'm excited to see this game overall. I mean, let's see what kind of magic happens here.
It's certainly 4.5 is a tough line to cover, or a tough spread to cover for Colorado.
Yeah.
Just because it's so small. But I also do like the idea of Colorado winning this game. So I also like, that's why I agree with your pick of Colorado, because I think they can win and that will make the spread not matter. But it's a good superdog pick because they got in like right there at that 4.5.
Yeah.
So Vanderbilt for me, Colorado for Isabella. Caleb, who is your superdog this week?
We're going down to the home state of North Carolina.
Ooh.
Wake Forest plus 20 versus Clemson. I think it's a little disrespectful to Wake Forest. Clemson have failed to cover in their two road games this season. I think Clemson wins this by at least a touchdown, probably touchdown and a half, but not by 1 point less than three, right? I don't think that this will be a 20-point win for Clemson. I think this will almost decidedly be a win between 10 and 18 by Clemson. So I think Wake Forest, they're playing in Winston-Salem. They've been able to keep it close. They figured it out and won away, right? 2 hours east versus NC State, put up big numbers. And the offensive production for Clemson has been semi-hit or miss, that I can see this being a little bit of a closer, hard-fought sort of defensive style win for Clemson. Solid win for Clemson. It's going to be by less than 20, though.
That Clemson defense has been, like, outside of the outlier, which was week one against Georgia, Clemson's defense has been absolutely lights out. I absolutely love that pick. Personally, I also looked at the Wake Forest Clemson game. I was going to pick Wake Forest originally, but I just kept looking at Clemson's previous games and how badly they've beaten teams for the past 3 weeks with that defense. Like, I wanted to, but in the end, I went with Vanderbilt because they've been a safe pick for me in the past. But I love these dogs. Good super dogs this week. With that, that's going to bring us to the end of our show today. We got through a lot of content. Apologies for any choppiness on the listener's end, just because we couldn't get into the studio this week. We've been on Zoom this whole time. So dealing with all of the difficulties that come with meeting on Zoom. But I think overall we got to everything that we wanted to get to. For Caleb Stein and for Isabella Terracini, I have been Tucker Austin, and you've been listening to College Gridiron. College Gridiron is a production of WFUV Sports. We'll be right back.